sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right, with the emphasis on the right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Every one of our shows has a theme, and today's theme is making difficult choices. Both of my guests will be talking about difficult choices that they've had to make in their careers and also in their private lives as well. My first guest is aptly named. She helps families and healthcare professionals through the difficult process of decision-making for those who are losing or have lost their own ability to think. Vicky Kind, you see she's aptly named, is a clinical bioethicist. She's a medical educator, a hospice volunteer. Her latest book, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision-Making, Making Choices for Those Who Can't, is a resource to healthcare professionals and families worldwide. She's lectured across the United States, teaching healthcare professionals to have integrity, compassion, and to improve end-of-life care through better communications. Patients, families, and healthcare professionals rely on Vicky's practical approach to dealing with the challenging healthcare dilemmas. Vicky provides bioethics consulting here in Los Angeles, and she's also a member of the Los Angeles County Bar Association's Bioethics Committee. She holds a master's degree in bioethics from the Medical College of Wisconsin, a bachelor's degree in speech communications from California State University, Northridge, and she's been a caregiver for many years for four members of her own family. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's my pleasure. And you do lecture literally around the United States on this subject. Today, we happened to catch you on the lecture tour, didn't we? You're calling from some undisclosed location in the Midwest.
Yes, it's a nice, humid, hot day here in the Midwest.
I love the Midwest. Well, you're just missing it here. It's 72 degrees, beautiful, low humidity on the coast, but I'm not rubbing it in. Anyway, to write this book, you are really an authority on helping caregivers for people who have Alzheimer's, dementia, strokes, brain injuries, mental illness, developmental delays, and other mental limitations. A lot of us, baby boomers, are kind of facing this dilemma with their parents on a number of these different illnesses. Any idea how many people in the United States suffer from mental disabilities of one sort or another?
Well, the numbers are huge. I mean, just in our Alzheimer's population, it's jumped from 4.3 million up to 5 million.
Wow.
Every year we have huge numbers of people with brain injuries, not just people who are getting brain injuries from falls and auto accidents. We have a lot of vets returning home with brain injuries, and stroke is on the rise, especially for some of our minority populations.
Mm-hmm.
So the recent research says that when you get to the end of your life, at least one in four people will have to have someone else be making their choices for them.
That's 25%, one in four people. Holy cow. Well, now, your caregiving journey began in your own family. Your mother suffered from a stroke. What was it like for you to be so young and to have to care for your mom like that? And what was the hardest part for you?
You know, I was 21 when I began my caregiving journey. I'm 46 now, and so it was a long time ago. We didn't have resources. We didn't have the internet and all the great books we have now. And for me, I was completely overwhelmed and exhausted. I had three great brothers, and we would all help out. We would stay at the hospital overnight with her because she didn't know and we didn't know how to advocate for her. And one of the hardest things for me was I knew my mom's wishes. I knew that she wouldn't want to live in a certain kind of condition.
Mm-hmm.
But her doctor had a different plan for her. And back then, the doctor did not ask the right question. She never asked me, what would your mom want? What would be right based on your mom's values and beliefs? And for years, my mom got what the doctor would want and not what she would have said. And so it always bothered me. It was really exhausting, too. And so it bothered me, like, on a moral perspective, but it also bothered me personally because if I didn't have the right resources to support our family and my mom on this journey, I couldn't do right by her.
Yeah, that's incredibly difficult for a 21-year-old to be having to face those kinds of challenges.
Yeah, and then luckily when I got a little older, I mean, my mom continued to live and not in a great condition, but we tried to do the right things for her. But later on, when I became the caregiver for my dad and my two aunts, I knew what to do. I felt so much more educated and empowered. My dad had vascular dementia, and so he had of very typical memory loss issues, and it was such a different experience for me. Not only did I have that peace of mind that I was doing right by him, but he had a better journey through his illness. So that's one of the reasons I'm really trying to reach out and say, the tools I have from my profession work great in your home when you're facing these dilemmas.
Very good. We're talking to Vicki Kind, everybody. Her latest book, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision-Making, is really going to be a Bible or a guidebook for people who are faced with this decision. As you mentioned, one out of every four people will need someone else to help them decide at the end of their life. Now, in the book, Vicki, you talk a great deal about advanced directives. So tell us, what is an advanced directive and why is it so important to know about them?
Yes, absolutely. This is the form you get to fill out while you can still speak for yourself. So your loved one who isn't doing well, they don't get to fill it out, but you still can. So what an advanced directive is a combination of the forms in California we used to call a living will and a durable power of attorney. Every state has a slightly different name for them, but it is now called an advanced directive in California. It's a document which you can fill out that will tell their loved ones and your doctor what you would want if you were too sick to speak for yourself, and who you would want to speak. And the who is really important. You want to pick somebody who will be responsible and make good choices for you. If you don't do this, the doctors won't know what you want. You might be in that same situation my mom was, or you might have family conflict. That's what I do. I go into the hospitals, and I have to clean up the mess with families at war with each other. So you really need to fill out the document that says who I would want and what I would want.
All right, and that advanced directive, is that a legally binding document?
Yes, it is.
All right, so you prepare one of those with the assistance of your attorney?
No, I mean, you can do it with an attorney, and I personally think for a lot of things we should absolutely use an attorney for our documents. This is the one document that I'm not a big fan of using an attorney for, because attorneys make it too fancy. And when the doctor gets it in the middle of a crisis, if it's too long and complicated, they don't have time to read it. What I advise people to do is use one of the standard forms. You can get them at the admitting desk of any hospital. You can download them off the internet. You type in California and advanced directive, and you can download a free one. And you fill it in, and then you add a couple paragraphs to make it personal. To say, this is what would be a meaningful recovery for me. Because the doctor knows what to do medically, but they don't know your quality of life goals. What kind of life would you want to live if your brain became disabled?
All right. We're talking to Vicki Kind, everybody. Vicki, we've got listeners from all over the country who stream us on the internet at brainstormingonline.com. If they're from another state, not the state of California, where might they find these forms, or what would make it different if you're in Wisconsin or Louisiana than maybe from California?
Absolutely. If you go to caringinfo.org, they actually have state-specific documents that would work for your particular state. Or you can just type in the name of your state and advanced directive, and one will pop up. If people want a really wonderful guide, filling it out in a way that will work for you, because a lot of people fill them out and then it doesn't work when you need it, you can download it from my website at thecaregiverspath.com. You just go on my resource page, and it's an awesome guide to filling it out in a way that will actually protect you.
Vicki, give that URL again, because people may not have got it.
Sure. Thecaregiverspath.com.
Well, now you bring up an interesting and a disturbing fact right there, that you can have this what used to be called a living will, durable power of attorney, now called an advanced directive. You can have filled out your advanced directive incorrectly and it can work against you?
Well, it's not that you meant to fill it out incorrectly, but what happens if it's too specific, if it says, if I'm in a coma, then do this. But what if you're in a different kind of mental incapacity situation where you're in a persistent vegetative state? Those are different diseases. Those are different types of situations. So if you're too specific, it confuses the doctors, because they're like, but they only talked about this one condition. So you want to make it vague enough that it covers multiple situations. The other thing I find is that families become desperate. And even though you have this document and you're standing there and the doctor has it, the family's like, save her, keep her alive. And the doctor's like, but she said she wanted a peaceful death. But then the family starts bullying the doctors and says, they're like, save her, I'll sue you. And it's like, are you kidding me? The patient took the time to fill out this document, and only about 20% of our population ever fills one out. And if you took the time to fill it out, it should be respected.
I'm sorry, Vicki. We've got a break for commercials. We're talking to Vicki Kind, everybody. She's the author of the book, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision-Making. Today's theme is making difficult choices. And, Vicki, I just want to tease the audience and continue down this path that you've started us on, and that is the squabbling within the family. Whether there is an advance directive or is not an advance directive, it's the human emotions that take a toll at this time in life. So when we come back, I want to talk about how do you resolve, as a bioethicist yourself, how do you resolve some of these challenges? Don't answer that now, after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming. Today's theme for our show is making difficult choices. Both of our guests have made difficult choices in their careers and in their personal lives. Our first guest is aptly named Vicki Kind. She's the author of the book, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision-Making, and for those people who can't make choices for themselves. And before we went to break, we were talking about a highly, highly emotionally charged issue, and that is end-of-life decisions for family members, particularly a parent or perhaps a grandparent. If you want to join in the discussion, you can call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. Vicki, before we went to break, though, we were talking about those squabbles within the family. So I guess this is a two-part question. The first part is, you said only 20% of the people in the United States fill out an advance directive of what their intentions are should they get into a terrible medical state. Why do you think that is? I mean, that for me, I'm a wussy boy. I would not want to fill one of these out because I don't want to have to think about those types of things. But tell us, you know, what is the thinking around the 20% of the people who do fill one of these out?
Well, the people who fill it out, they want to have some control over their life. They want to make sure that they have a voice when they're voiceless. For the other people, sometimes faith gets in the way because you feel like if I say these certain things out loud, then either I'm bringing bad things to me, or then I'm not being faithful that God will heal me. There's all sorts of things in that category. But a lot of times, different cultures, they want stuff. And the advance directive form oftentimes says, what don't you want? But you can change that form and say, this is what I do want. I do want respect. I do want treatment. You turn this form into your voice.
So you can rewrite it within certain parameters. You can rewrite it to reflect your own wishes, not necessarily use the canned form that the state of California or your governing state would give you.
Absolutely. It's a power and a respect form. It's not a dying form.
All right. Well, you talked about faith. You talked about taking control, but you overlooked Billy the Brain's biggest thing, and that's fear. I fear filling one of these things out.
Well, do you like all your relatives?
Yes.
Okay, good. For a lot of families, if they have a bad relative in California and in other states, that relative might be in charge of your life when you're in a serious accident or have a terrible injury. So if it's okay with you for someone else to be in charge of your life and it's not the person you would want, don't fill it out. Personally, I'm more fearful of a bad relative than filling it out. But also, just because you fill it out doesn't mean that you're choosing to die or you're choosing death. It's just saying, I need to speak my truth. The quality of my life matters. How I want to be treated matters. So it really is not a form about dying. It's about living with disability.
All right. Very well said. Now let's turn the coin and let's take a look at a family situation where the parent is incapacitated mentally and you do have an advance directive, or maybe you don't have an advance directive, but there's internal squabbling within the family. This is your expertise. How, you know, what sorts of situations do you see in families faced with this sort of decision, and how are some of the ways that you resolve those?
So what happens a lot of times is the doctor has one opinion, each family has another opinion, and what the question that doesn't get asked is, what would the patient, what would that person say is the right thing to do? So when the doctor walks in the room, they say to the family member, Bill, what do you think you should do about grandmother? And really, it's not your decision. We use something called substituted judgment in ethics, where we ask a different question. We say, what would your grandma tell us if she could see what's happened to her body and what's happened in this situation? What would she say? actually gives people a lot of peace of mind because it takes it off of you, and all you have to do is speak with grandma's voice, honoring her beliefs, her religion, her culture, what makes her her. The other thing you can do besides doing that with your family is to refocus on the patient's needs and the patient's experience. Is if you're really in a big mess, every hospital has a bioethics or ethics committee. You pick up the hospital phone, call the operator, and they can connect you to a free advocate team who will come in and protect your loved one and help you manage the conflict with the doctors.
Oh, that's good to know. We're talking to Vicki Kind, everybody, author of the book, The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision Making. In your book, you write about something called the Platinum Rule. Explain some of the uses of the Platinum Rule, would you please?
Absolutely. Dr. Tony Alessandra created this rule. It's a version of the Golden Rule, which we all know says, do unto others as we would want to be done unto. The Platinum Rule works really well because we're in such a diverse culture. We're not all the same. And it says that we should do unto others as they would want to be done unto. So I don't assume that everyone is exactly like me. Instead, if I want to show them respect or kindness, I ask them, how can I treat you well? You tell me how to treat you. So I'm a hospice volunteer, and I love to give hugs. So, and if I'm sad, I want to be hugged. If I use the Golden Rule, that means I would go around and hug everybody. But not everyone wants to be hugged, especially when they're in grief. So what I use with this Platinum Rule is I ask that person, do you want a hug? And they'll say, no, thank you. Or they'll say, yes, please, that would really help. And so it's a way of demonstrating the true meaning of respect that the Golden Rule teaches us, but we ask that person how they want to receive our help.
I love it. Vicki Kind, author of the book, The Caregiver's Path. Let me just ask you one final question. We only have about a minute remaining, but what makes your book different from other resource books on caregiving and end-of-life issues?
You know, this is a process book. It's actually a decision-making book because it walks you through the decision-making journey. It gives you lots of questions to use, strategies to use, and it will help you take action in a way that will make you feel like I'm doing the right thing. It's not going to make it easier because, you know, these kinds of decisions are always hard, but you will feel like you're a little more confident that, okay, I have the courage, I can do this because I know I'm on the right track.
All right, I love it. We're talking to Vicki Kind, everybody. Vicki, if people are listening to the sound of your voice, they like what you have to say, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go?
Feel free to stop by my website at thecaregiverspath.com, and my blog is on kindethics.com, and my book is available online and through bookstores everywhere in the nation.
That's wonderful. We're talking to Vicki Kind, everybody. The Caregiver's Path to Compassionate Decision Making, Making Choices for Those Who Can't, is her book. Remember, our theme today is making tough decisions, and clearly, Vicki, your book can help people make tough decisions at a difficult time in our life. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you down the road.